I'm sitting down to record this particular episode in early December 2021. Recently, the theater world lost one of its great titans. I'm not talking about the one you're probably thinking of. Yes, Stephen Sondheim passed on at the end of November. But on December 2nd, 2021, the world lost Sir Anthony Scheer. Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you're listening to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast, episode number 27. I had the great pleasure of seeing Anthony Scheer perform back in 1998. I spent the winter and spring of 1998 on a study abroad program at the end of my undergraduate days in college. I lived in London, and I saw oodles and oodles of theater, a lot of plays in the West End, but I saw everything from pub theater to the RSC to, fancy plays with Liam Neeson and Kevin Spacey and the Emperor himself, Ian McDiarmid. It was a sort of a magical time as a theater artist because I had not made my way out into the world yet, but I was jam-packing my brain with all of these wonderful performances and wonderful plays and, of course, London itself, and it was the first time out of several times that I've extensively lived abroad. And so Anthony Scheer was part of that experience. During the winter of 1998, I remember going to London's Lyric Theatre and seeing the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of Cyrano de Bergerac. And for those listeners that might not know, I am a Cyrano de Bergerac superfan. I'm a fan of the play and the history of the making of the play and its first production and the playwright Edmond Rostand. And so whenever there's a production of Cyrano de Bergerac, basically since I have been a teenager, I have made my way out to see it if I possibly can. And while I was in London, it was the 100th anniversary of the premiere of Cyrano de Bergerac. So It was very fitting. Cyrano de Bergerac premiered December 27th, 1897. And so at the very end of 1997, that was the 100-year anniversary. I ended up getting to London a month or two later, and one of the productions I saw was Anthony Scheer playing Cyrano in a wonderful production that was directed by Gregory Doran. Gregory Doran later became Anthony Scheer's husband, but they were partners in life and in art. And it's funny, I remember also seeing a production of Henry VIII at the Young Vic while I was out there during the winter and spring of 1998 as well. And that was directed by Gregory Doran. So I saw two Gregory Doran-directed projects. I just kind of want to talk about seeing Anthony Scheer in performance, because he left quite a legacy, and it's a sort of legacy that if you're in the theater, you can really appreciate. But he wasn't widely known in the broader culture, I don't think. He wasn't necessarily a movie star, even though he did show up in a number of movies over his lifetime. He is in the extended version of Peter Jackson's The Hobbit, but he was cut out of the theatrical release. He plays Thorin's father, who I can't remember the name of at the moment, but he's also in Shakespeare in Love, and he pops up in kind of cameo roles in a lot of plays, in a lot of movies. But his bread and butter was on the stage, and he was one of the great Shakespearean actors of his time, of the 20th and 21st century. And what's amazing about him is that he sort of comes from a misfit background. I guess all misfits are sort of welcome in the theater, but he's not a British national. He is actually from South Africa. He grew up Jewish and also came out as gay. And he and Gregory Doran became one of the first officially married kind of power couples in the arts in London. Anyway, Cher played all of the great kind of Shakespearean parts. He played a lot of the great parts in theater. He played Richard III and Willie Loman and Tamburlaine and Tartuffe and Shylock and Falstaff and Iago and Malvolio and, of course, Cyrano de Bergerac, which I will get to here in a second, and Willie Loman. He also wrote a one-man show about Primo Levi, who was a Auschwitz survivor, and presented it to great critical acclaim, a one-person show. Anyway, he kind of played all the great roles. He played a lot of the great roles in Shakespeare and was a revered Shakespearean actor. He was knighted and became Sir Anthony Shear throughout his, you know, over the course of his career. And he worked primarily at the Royal Shakespeare Company. I remember seeing him in 1998 on stage, and I didn't know anything about him. I, just the same day as I went to see the play, stumbled across his book, Year of the King, in which he keeps sort of a journal or a diary about playing the role of Richard III. And I was leafing through it the same afternoon before I saw Cyrano, and I was captivated by the way he approached playing Richard III. He took the description of Richard III from the play, where he's described as a bottled spider, and kind of took it to heart. The role of Richard III in the Shakespeare play is described graphically at the very beginning of the play by the character himself, the titular character, as being deformed and twisted. So he played him on crutches, but he used the crutches propulsively and launched himself across the stage and would stamp them into the ground. And he moved kind of in this weird crouch where he would, cover 10 or 15 feet in a single bound and then just kind of hunch there. It apparently was very, very dynamic and very theatrical and very effective. And he used those crutches that he had basically to launch himself around the stage and give himself basically more limbs. And he had the costume designer design a costume so little tatters of it hung down behind him. And it also made it look like he had more limbs than a normal human being. So he really did resemble a bottled spider, and he was all spring-loaded dangerousness and evil. It's Richard III. Anyway, I remember picking up this book and leafing through it, and I was like, oh, how amazing. This guy kept a journal, a diary of his creative journey to come up with his character. And then that evening, I went to see the show. Now, I will admit, I am a Cyrano snob, and not so much now as I was when I was younger, but when I was back in college, I had a purist view of how Cyrano should be played, and I wanted it done in the high old grand style. And this being the late 90s, that was not what I got. Anthony Shear's Cyrano de Bergerac was sweaty and roughshod, and he was rough and tumble. He reminded me of like a Cyrano from a biker gang. I remember he wore this dark leather doublet, and he had like this curly hair and a receding hairline. And of course he had the great Cyrano nose the whole time, and the sword fights were awesome. But I remember the show having some like cheesy things in it, like the cadets in his regiment all had like they would sing a song about the regiment, and they all used utensils and like kitchen utensils and things to bang on tables and floors and stuff. And it was like a number out of the show Stomp or something. And I remember thinking, well, this is excessive. But he was riveting. Anthony Shear was riveting. First of all, he's not very tall. In real life, he's not very tall. And so he automatically had this sort of underdog appeal when he was playing the character. He came off as this like little spark plug of a man anyway, and he kind of had to look up to everybody in the production. And he wasn't handsome, which is one of the wonderful things about the character of Cyrano, is that his physical features, his lack of outside beauty, is sort of a sticking point. And Anthony Scheer can be called many things, but handsome might not be one of them. He's a very distinctive-looking gentleman, and he used it to real advantage in the show. I remember he played opposite a woman playing Roxanne named Alexandra Gilbreth, I believe her name was. I'm surprised I remember it after all these years. I remember her because she was amazing. She was pound for pound every bit a match for Anthony Scheer's Cyrano. She was just smart, and she had this deep, husky voice and easy laugh, and just was the wittiest, kind of just most confident female character. And at the end of the play, and I'm going to give away the ending of the play because it's over 120 years old now, so I'm not really spoiling it, but spoiler alert, at the end of the play, it's a tragedy. It's a comic tragedy, and so it's hilarious, funny play, but Cyrano dies at the end, and he pretends to be someone else. He pretends to be this other character named Christian, who looks like a GQ model, basically. This very handsome guy who's tongue-tied and dull and kind of can't talk to women. But he's very brave, and he has a crush on Roxanne as well. So the two of them team up, basically, to woo Roxanne. So Cyrano provides the words and the letters, the love letters, and the voice and the soul of the relationship. And then the outer appearance is Christian. So, of course, Roxanne thinks she has the perfect guy. The hot guy who also can say all the right things and push all the right buttons. And of course, this deception makes it hard for anybody to come out of the play in a positive note. Christian does not make it to the end of the play. Cyrano is ambushed in the final scene of the play and is struck on the head by a falling wooden beam by his enemies. And he kind of has this long extended death scene. And he asked to read one of the last letters that Christian left for Roxanne all the many years before. And the secret is, he wrote that letter. Christian just happened to have it on him when he passed on. And Roxanne has been in mourning for this super, like, boyfriend that died, that she thought died so many years ago. And he asked to read the letter, and he basically quotes it from heart. Like, he quotes it from memory back to her in the fading dusk. And she realizes that he, Cyrano, is the one that she's been in love with the whole time. And in the production I saw, Alexandra Gilbreth just lost it. Like, she was stricken with such anger at this realization that her true love had lied to her this whole time. He had been alive for the last 14 years. He had been alive. He'd been standing in front of her every week, visiting her. She'd moved into a convent and become chaste in memory of losing Christian, and then realizing that everything she loved about Christian was Cyrano. And now Cyrano shows up and he's dying, and she finds out right there as he's dying, and she is pissed. And it was so powerful. I remember seeing the play thinking to myself, I'd read the play and I'd seen it once or twice before performed. But boy, when she had that scene with Cyrano at the end, that the plight of Roxanne stuck out, and I had all new, like, affection for the character Roxanne, as well as the writer of the play, Edmund Rostand. I was like, man, this dude knows. He knows what's going on, because everybody gets struck by the tragic ending. Cyrano dies. Christian died earlier. Basically, he's forlorn when he throws himself into combat in a battle, and basically goes off to die. He's like suicide by war. Because Roxanne basically has picked Cyrano over him without, you know, actually articulating it. And then, of course, Roxanne has lost her love twice. She lost Christian back in the day and then realized that Christian would really, that what she liked about Christian really was Cyrano, and now Cyrano's dying. So it's just, oh, it's a gut punch of a play, and I love it. I love it dearly. I absolutely love the play. And this production, for all of its little quirks and stuff here and there, was amazing. And Anthony Scheer was amazing. He was just a spark plug, a dynamo on stage. He was just all sweaty energy and grimy, and he played the character still very romantically, but he definitely had this kind of really dangerous hair trigger like edge to him. And I'll always remember that performance. And I just want to say kind of a fond farewell to Anthony Scheer, who has recently passed on. He died of complications having to do with cancer, and he was only 72 years old. So he's just entering his elderly years. He probably would have had some more performances, you know, on the docket. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, one of the things I really, really liked about Scheer's performance style is that he was a character actor. He played all of these lead parts in all of these wonderful plays, especially Shakespeare plays, but he was a character actor. He put so much effort into research and getting behind these people and every just 110% into all the roles, especially physically, but also psychologically and emotionally and mentally, and he just inhabited the parts that he played. But he wasn't necessarily a leading man. He would not have been a leading man in the cinema or in television. But on the stage, he ended up playing all these wonderful, just grand parts. And basically will be remembered from here on out as one of the great, great Shakespearean actors of the last century and of this century. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you, Sir Anthony Scheer. You have been a great light, and you have given me one of my many wonderful memories in the theater. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. Thanks for listening. I just wanted to dash off this quick remembrance of seeing Anthony Scheer in performance, because he passed on just a couple of days ago. And I really appreciate you listening. And you can check me out at my website, bradmcintyre.com, or you can visit the Cultivated Playwright podcast website, which is at cultivatedplaywright.wordpress.com. And I'll try to put in the show notes some links to Anthony Scheer's books, especially The Year of the King, where he works on Richard III. And if I can find a really good obituary of him, I'll try to link that as well. Anyway, until next time.